Please join me in the prayer for understanding of God's word. And you may be seated. Living God, help us so to hear your word that we may truly understand, that understanding we may believe, and believing we may follow your way in all faithfulness, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do. Amen. The scripture reading is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 12, verses 2 through 6, from the New Revised Standard Version. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the nations, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning. It's a joy for me to be here and to have this opportunity to actually stop and visit with you at Gila Mountain. I've passed by this church many times. You're a very visible church, but this is the first time I've actually stopped to enjoy some time with you, and I'm very grateful. Grateful for Pastor Jen's invitation for me to be here and to have an opportunity to not only visit and to see this magnificent place that has been appointed for worship and for ministry, but also to lead in this time together. And thank you, Pastor Jen, for giving up one of your Advent Sundays and letting me come and visit. What a joy it is. Before I start and do anything further, I wanted to pause for a little commercial break. You know, I wanted to have an opportunity to say thank you to this congregation for your faithfulness in participating in the apportionments of the United Methodist Church and the apportionments for the Desert Southwest Conference. Now, I know that some of you, those of you who have been lifelong Methodists, for example, might think that apportionments are taxes that we send to Phoenix, right? And since I'm from Phoenix, I guess I'm the tax collector. But I want you to know that a friend of mine helped me understand better what apportionments are when he helped me to see that if you look at the word itself, it says a portion meant for others. And so that is your way of participating in a wonderful outreach that goes around the globe of engaging in exciting and transforming ministries in places that you and I may never see in our life. The money that you put in the offering plate, some of it goes with that reach around the globe to care for others in need, to offer a word of support, to offer ministries that never would be possible except because you participate faithfully in the portion meant for others. And this congregation has been so faithful. Over the last many years, you have paid faithfully 100% or more. And I wanted to say how much that means to us, that you participate in this important ministry of our United Methodist Church. So I wanted to say thank you to Gila Mountain United Methodist Church for your faithfulness and to let you know that you do make a difference, an incredible difference in the ministries around the world. Now, the second commercial break really is also to say thank you for your participation in Imagine No Malaria. Anybody swat at a mosquito recently? If you have, you know that we don't have to worry here about catching malaria, but children, especially around the globe in Africa, are susceptible to getting bitten by a mosquito and then contracting malaria, and because they do not have the proper health care, many of them have the danger of being sick and even dying because of malaria. we've discovered that malaria is 100% preventable and treatable if caught in time. And we have embarked, the United Methodist Church, on a program to eliminate deaths because of malaria. And we have called it Imagine No Malaria. And you have participated incredibly well. I understand that your pledge is paid up and you pledged to raise $10,000 in this congregation, which is extraordinary, and I want to say thank you. 3 years ago when we started Imagine No Malaria, we were reporting to people that a child died of malaria every 30 seconds. And now, 3 years later, because of generosity like yours, we are able to report that a child dies every minute. Now, that means we've cut the death rate in half, but it means that we still have work to do. In the Desert Southwest Conference, we set a goal of $2 million, and that's $2 million of the United Methodist denomination's goal of $75 million. I am happy to report that of the $2 million, we are almost there. We have only $135,000 yet to raise in order to meet our goal of $2 million. You know, 3 years ago when we started setting our goal, people said to me, "Bishop, $2 million is pretty high. I don't think we're going to get there." And I said, you know, unless we raise the bar and set the bar high, we can't challenge our people to really do something significant. But because of your work, you and I can sit with our children and grandchildren, maybe great-grandchildren, and we can say that we have been part of an historic movement, that because of our participation in Imagine No Malaria, we will be able to say that children across the globe do not have to die because of this disease. So I want to thank you, and it is extraordinary that because of your pledge of $10,000, we are closer than we have ever imagined, and we are 135,000 short of our Desert Southwest Conference goal of $2 million. So if anybody has a check in your pocket, burning in your pocket, I will receive that check today. I can remember, though, standing before churches and saying, all I need is 500,000. And so you see how far we have come and how close we are. But I wanted to say to you, thank you for your faithfulness. You are helping to make a difference in the quality of life for children around the globe who are otherwise susceptible to malaria. Thank you, Gila Mountain United Methodist Church, from the bottom of this bishop's heart. Now we'll talk about God's word for us. But before I do, I'd like to invite you to prayer. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, our loving Creator, I thank you for this congregation and its faithfulness. You know the hearts of these people, how they yearn to serve you and to help in the ministry of compassion and love that reaches around the globe in many places. You know that there are hurts in the world, O God. You know that there are places that need our love. And so I ask that you bless this congregation for the way that this congregation has shown that love. And I ask, as we gather for worship now and hear your word, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts might be acceptable to you, for you are our rock, our redeemer, and our salvation. Amen. Happy third Sunday in Advent. Doesn't it feel like we're moving closer to something wonderful? Is it wonderful? You know, all the preparations that we do getting ready for Christmas? I sometimes think, you know, it would be really nice if we took out all the decorations and then we left them up for the whole year. It would make Advent a lot easier for all of us, wouldn't it? So how many of you, may I ask, have made your list and have checked it twice? You have your list of all the gifts that you have to. I don't see many signs, so you may not be getting any presents. I don't know. I don't know. You better encourage your loved ones to get with it. But okay, so how many of you, having made the list and checked it twice, have done all the shopping that you need to do for this Christmas? Lots to do this next week, yes? Yeah. All right, some of you have. How many of you have written all your cards, greeting cards to your friends and relatives, put it in the envelopes, licked the envelopes and put the stamp on? There's one, yeah, a few of you. Okay, don't have to send it to me now. Okay, lots more to do. How many of you at least have decided what you're serving for Christmas dinner? Okay. Pastor Jen, there's a lot that has to be done. Did I see your hand go up at all? Just checking. All of these preparations. Is it any wonder that sometimes we go about as these days approach and we say, bah, humbug? Any of you know someone who fits in with the Scrooge motif these days? I heard someone, listen carefully, sweetie, he's talking about you. Okay. Advent preparation, you know, can easily become a time of stress, you know, of busyness, when we are caught with all that we want to do, and so we sometimes forget why we are doing all that we are doing. So in our time of Advent preparation, besides coming to church on Sunday, how many of you have read the familiar scriptures at home? Luke 2, all right, this is homework. Pastor Jen, this is homework for them. Yeah, she's making a list, checking it twice, that one. Go home today and sometime in the next week, pull out your Bible at home and read Luke 2, okay? Second chapter in Luke is that wonderful story that tells about the birth of Jesus. And just read that short chapter, and that will be a part of your preparation, because after all, Advent preparation is more about getting ready for the most materialistic celebration that we have in the U.S. today. It's more than just buying presents and giving them. It's more than just planning a meal and inviting your friends. It's more than sending out those cards and letters that you do once a year to let people know about all the good things that you are experiencing, or all the bad things that you've experienced. You know, how many of you use your Christmas greeting to talk about the doctor's visits and the, you know, the new medications on your list and the aches and pains? No, we don't do that, because you see, it's more about materialism. Advent preparation really is a time to prepare ourselves spiritually inside there for the most significant celebration that we have at this time. More than just materialism, it's the celebration of the birth of Christ, the coming into the world of the reminder that God loves us enough so much to give us the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. So, to help us with our Advent preparation, we hear this word from the prophet Isaiah. Prophets were not always the most pleasant people to be around. You know, it was the task of the prophet to tell the people what was wrong in their lives, what they needed to change, how they needed to get ready in their own lives for the coming of God's love and forgiveness. So it was often one of these invective statements that the prophet came to the people with a whole list, laundry list of things that they needed to change in order to deserve the love of God. So this passage from Isaiah is out of context. It feels out of context for us, because Isaiah has done his work before this passage of scolding the people and telling them that they were heading the wrong way. And then he delivers this beautiful message of joy. Isaiah then tells the people, but in spite of all the things that you have been doing wrong, he says, in the years to come, and remember, Isaiah was doing this 8 centuries before Jesus was born. In the years to come, Isaiah said, God will bless you with the Messiah. That in spite of all the things you are doing wrong, God loves you and will give you the grace of a wonderful gift wrapped in the words salvation in Jesus Christ. It's a great gift that God is giving us, and Isaiah makes that prophecy. This will happen when Jesus comes as the Messiah. That's a great word for us, isn't it, in this day and age? For us to look around the world, all we have to do is read the papers or turn on the TV or turn on your computers, look it up in your iPhones, and you see that the world seems to be falling apart. That there are things happening in the world we could never imagine 10 or 20 years ago. Things seem to be going downhill very rapidly, and it feels to many of us that there's nothing we can do to change it. Isaiah tells us we need to look to God to help us through these moments when we don't know what is happening and we only see evil and terror and harm and violence around us. Isaiah tells us we need to look at the message of God in Jesus Christ to recuperate, to recoup our sense of God's goodness and love. And so these words are words of assurance from Isaiah that I think leave us with a number of things that we might take away with us. Take away with us to help us through these days. For example, the first thing, if you read Isaiah, the first words are a word of assurance to us. Surely God is good, the prophet tells us. A reminder that in all things, God is a good God. And we know that because God has gifted us with the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. Now, you and I know that that's a promise that we receive gladly. As we go through life, we find ourselves wondering, if this life is really good, is there something even better that God prepares for us? And so it is that we receive this word that God says to us, after your life upon this earth is over, there is something wonderful and great waiting for you. And God says, I promise this to you, and I bring you Jesus as the Messiah to usher in a new age and to remind you that salvation is real and it is a gift for you and for me, and it is unearned, many times undeserved, and yet a gift free and clear given to you. When we receive that news of God's gift in Jesus Christ, it is wonderful news for us. It gives us the ability to live our lives in confidence. And so, having been assured of the gift of God through Jesus Christ, the second thing that Isaiah says to us is to live your life courageously without fear. Because God has already promised you this gift, you are free to live your life with more courage than you have ever imagined before. That means we do not cower and hide because of the things that are happening in our world. Instead, we bravely approach the world with our ability and our insistence that we will triumph over evil in our world. I had the experience not too long ago of speaking to a colleague and friend who lives in Paris. And I called him and I did a FaceTime with him because I was concerned about his safety in Paris. I don't know exactly where he lived. And so I just sort of FaceTimed with him. I said, Richard, how are you? I'm just popping in on you to see how you are doing. And he revealed that he actually lives just a few blocks away from where the terrorist attacks took place. And he said that Paris is, number one, was engulfed in fear after the attacks. Second, he said, thank you for the people of the United States who have sent prayers and reassurance his way. And third, he said, we here in Paris have decided that in our faith in God, we will not let this change our way of serving God. We will not let this terrorism make us hide in a corner, but rather we are going to continue to live life with courage and with faith. In this day and age, faced with all the challenges we have, terrorism, violence, bullying in school, challenges with relationships, in all of this, the reminder from God is clearly, do not shrink in fear, but with God alongside us, live courageously and continue the life that you are leading in the name of Jesus Christ. The third thing that I think that Isaiah says to us is that you must proclaim the good news. Isaiah says it pretty clearly. Don't just be quiet about your faith. Proclaim the good news. And that means that as you go outside the doors of this beautifully appointed sanctuary, you don't leave your faith in this room, but take it with you. And you become a part of God's outreach into a world which is sometimes hurting and in need. We see strangers among us in the community. We see people who are in need, who are on the margins of society. We are being told, do not hide your faith, but continue to reach out with love and peace and generosity in the places where your love is needed. And as you do so, especially in this holy season, let's remember that many centuries ago, a couple crossed the border into a strange and unhostile land, looking for a place where they might lodge in order to bring into this world their baby. And in spite of the hostility they felt, they found a place where they were welcomed, where they were able to have their baby, and that baby we call Jesus. Isaiah tells us, if your faith is strong, if you understand that God has given us the gift of salvation, then don't be afraid, but continue to live out your life in peace and in love and in generosity, and by your ministry in the world, help to make this world a better place. Proclaim the good news with courage in a world that longs to hear that word of faith. And the last thing that I think Isaiah is trying to tell us is this. If we understand the birth of Jesus to be a gift to us, then let's also think about our own habits of giving gifts. We give gifts to our family and our friends. We give our gifts to charitable organizations, the church, for example. Those are all good. But they are only symbols of another gift that you are being asked to give. To give your whole life back to God in thanksgiving for the gift of Jesus Christ. That's what gift giving is all about. To remind you that it's not only about the material things, but the spiritual things. And at the heart of what we do as spiritual gift givers is giving back to God our love, our commitment, and our faith in the name of Jesus Christ. I want us to sing a hymn that is to me one of my favorites. I don't know if we sing it too often. It's hymn 221, In the Bleak Midwinter. And we don't often think of the bleak midwinter here in Yuma. So you have to use your imagination. But remember that I was once a student from in college in Connecticut who had come from Hawaii. And I was one of those crazy kids who ran out in the first snow of the winter barefoot to see the snowflakes for the first time in my life. So we imagine that there is a bleak midwinter, and in the midst of this bleak midwinter comes this wonderful hymn that tells us that in the bleakness comes the joy and the love of Jesus Christ and the question of God, "What will you give back to me?" God asks, "What will you give back to me?" Let's stand and sing our faith.